we may greet each other congregation
this morning. And as we gather here in the church, let us think of Psalm 84. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, fainteth for the courts of the Lord, and my heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. If we may so be together in this morning hour, then it could be a blessed moment. Let us begin our service with prayer now and receive the Lord's blessing. Our help is in Thee, O Lord, who has made the heavens and the earth. In Thee who keepeth truth forever, never forsaking any of Thy works of Thy own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us sing together Psalter 10, verse 1 and 3. In the fullness of thy grace to thy house I will repair. And bowing down toward thy holy place in thy fear will worship there. So Psalter 10, we'll sing verse 1 and 3. Grace
through thy house I will repair. I adore thy holy place, in thy fear will worship there.
Let's assemble our thoughts together around Mount Sinai's scene. And once again, let us hear the words of God spoken in thunderings and lightnings, in a fear and great display of His majesty. So great that when we read the finish of it, that all the people saw the thundering and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet. and the mountain smoking, they appeal to Moses to ask the Lord no more to speak with them. Later on, the Lord commented in Deuteronomy 13 or 18 that that was a good response. They said, well, for then they realized the sense of a mediator, which the Lord promised in the prophet Jesus Christ. So I wonder if you've ever listened to the law like this and asked the Lord no more to speak directly, but to speak through the mediator, Jesus Christ. Let's hear again the law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord. I am the Lord thy God. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of Egypt, out of the land, house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Let's sing Psalter 170, verse 1. Praise waits for thee in Zion. And what follows? I will read with you from God's Word out of two portions. First, let us go back once more to Ruth chapter 2. And then we will move on to Luke 22. So Ruth chapter 2 and we'll read today the first 17 verses. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean the ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it's the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it has fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parts corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. But when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and there was about an ephah of barley. So if we now turn to Luke chapter 22, and let's read from verse 14 to 22, dealing with the institution of the Lord's Supper. So verse 14 of chapter 22 of Luke. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 disciples with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks, and he brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me at the table. And truly, the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. So far then, the scriptures readings for this morning. Let us now seek the Lord together in prayer. Gracious Lord God Almighty, not only hast thou been mindful of us and remembered us in thy mercy and maintained us, but thou hast overloaded us again with bounties freely given. We cannot begin, Lord, to list them all as we gather again in this morning hour. But may all of us be thoroughly aware that everything that we have in this life is mercy, is undeserved. For Lord, thou knowest what dwells within and what dwells among us. Thou art the silent witness, but not the blind witness, of all what goes on in our minds, what comes out of our mouth, what we entertain with our eyes, and Lord, what goes on among us as people. And then, gracious Lord, if we let all that filter through our thoughts, who are not to be amazed that thou art so kind, so infinitely kind. We thank thee, Lord, and praise thee this morning again. Every detail of any good is the brilliant beauty of thy character. And will thou set us still today and every day to notice these small details and to pause upon them in our thoughts and prayers. And Lord, so what shall we render to thee today for thy benefits in this life, but then even far beyond, as we again may draw our thoughts together this morning to that unspeakable gift of thy Son, Jesus Christ. In this morning hour especially, Lord, we may think of thee, that thou spared not thy only begotten Son, the worst, to prepare for us a feast. And who of us can grasp that? Who of us can fathom it, Lord, that it pleased thee to bruise Jehovah, to bruise thy servant in order to set this table before thy people again in the presence of others who may not even know thee, to show also them something visually of what a great God thou art. And Lord, though we may not all be able to partake this morning then of the table, may there be a shining light of the truth that would be as a laser beam to penetrate to all the layers of our unconverted hearts and to burn a hole in it so that we may begin to pay attention to thy great word and works. For Lord, how dreadful would it be for us if we neglect so great salvation that thou art setting before us in the word that we hear and in the sacraments that we see, and even a sacrament that most all of us here already have received in the very message of the baptized foreheads. O God, we beseech thee, let the power of thy goodness lead us to repentance. Draw us and melt our soul. Peel our hearts away, Lord, from all that is unworthy, to which we cling, and which we value so much that we are willing to neglect our soul for a little bit of the earth. O gracious Lord, thou knowest what fools we are, and we can't cure ourselves. But we come to thee, Lord Jesus Christ, as leprous, as spiritually dead, as blind, as deaf, for thou alone art able to save to the uttermost. And so, gracious God, stir our hearts afresh today, that we may stand in awe of thee, that thou wilt enlarge our sluggish hearts. And as we this morning, Lord, may contemplate with thy children among us, particularly also in the visible sacrament of the Lord's Supper, gather all thy children around this table. There may be some of us who've been really struggling to know whether they have that spiritual wedding garment, whether they have, Lord, that spiritual life. And therefore, O great shepherd, we may entrust this matter to thee. It is not a minister's job, it is thy task to bring the sheep to thyself. All those whom thy Father has given thee, they shall come. They shall come to thee. And so we may lay this matter before thee and leave it in thy hand to answer us. But Lord, will thou grant our hearts this morning to be more occupied with Jesus and thy Father, thyself, than with ourselves. Lord, thou hast made Jesus to suffer and to die for the ungodly. Thou sacrificed him single-handed, like Abraham was about to do with Isaac. For it is not the Romans that crucified Jesus. It is thou, Father, who sacrificed thy Son. And so let our minds be preoccupied this morning with this matchless and this unfathomable love, that Christ really dwell within our hearts by faith. And may we really embrace him as thy children here, as we eat and drink with our mouth. And Lord, the struggles thou knowest to believe this is true for me. And so wilt thou graciously encourage the wavering Ruths and doubting Thomases to lose all their fears and doubts this morning and rejoice in what thou hast said, and thus say again, this is my body which is broken for you. And this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. O God, will thou take all of us into thy bosom and speak so with thy word that our hearts may be sufficed. And so, Lord God, command then all deliverances, both in thy people's lives and in the unconverted lives. We uplift before thee all of thy churches, they gather throughout this world. Some of them, Lord, will do so in great fear of what may happen in all these acts of violence and terrorism. We just pray that thou would be as a wall of fire around thy people. Also within this nation, Lord, we are not safe. At least not humanly safe. And so we beseech thee to remember all those who have been affected this week by the violence that again has been seen in our nation, in the shootings. Those who have lost loved ones, who are gathering today with all their grief and sorrow. Lord, we pray for those who have gone through accidents. Heard of a family where many children were in one car. Thou spared so far life, as far as we know, but there are some serious wounds. And so we pray, O gracious God, sanctify these trials. Also be with all that are sick and sorrowing. Remember our dear sister of our congregation on her dying bed. Thou sustain so far, Lord, her peace and joy and rest in heart. And we may marvel about that. And we thank thee for that. And we pray also that these times that she may spend with her children and grandchildren may be times of witness, that her bed may be a pulpit, both in her silences as well as in her speakings. Lord, be with all those who are receiving counseling for abuse and trauma and for sin issues of various kinds. We pray for more biblical counselors, also biblical counseling. We thank thee for the surgery and the recovery of Bethany Gabriel. Lord, will thou further help her to get back on her feet, literally in this case, and to again take the care of her family and her labors. Lord, be mindful of all thy people who are called to preach. Anoint them to preach biblically and faithfully. We lift up to thee the meeting of the curatorium in our own denomination this week. Our brother DeLeo, as he has his final exam, and the other brother in his first year exam, and Lord, those who will be heard for the attests that they have received from their consistories. We pray also for the many brothers in the Netherlands. Thank thee for the 3 that were accepted, Lord, but we feel burdened and grief for the 23 that were not accepted. We also pray for those brothers who've gone home with great confusion. And we pray that thou would graciously, Lord, be mindful of them as well. Thou wilt know what is necessary. We need an army of preachers. We need every pulpit stocked with men to preach the gospel, Lord Jesus. And so we pray that thou would open the doors and that thou would send forth men after thy own heart, and uphold in all the causes of thy kingdom, in all mission, evangelism, prison ministry, the word and deed labor in the many different countries around the world. All this, O gracious Lord, we may lay before thy throne, assured that thou wilt glorify thyself despite of all our sins. And so we thank thee for allowing us to bring these matters before thy throne. And will thou, Lord, enable us to practice what we also sing. for thou wilt compass him about, and thou wilt yield a blessing to the righteous. Thou wilt answer prayer. And Lord, may we so in that expectation wait upon thee. For Jesus' sake, hear us. Amen. We'll sing Psalter 120. And there of all four verses, judge me, O God, of my salvation, and plead my cause for thee I trust. And what follows in the four verses of Psalter 120, and today the collections and offerings will be devoted to the general fund and to the building fund. So Psalter 120. children, if you are a healthy child, what part of the day do most of us look forward to the most? And perhaps you would say, when mom says it's time to eat. If you're healthy, you long forward to eat. And eating is not only a time to be finished, nourished, and to be strengthened. Mealtimes, one of the most important moments in the family, normal families. It's interesting that all kinds of research comes out that even when you with your teenagers have one meal a day, in the joy of a family, that your young adolescents, men and women, will grow up better. Now, that's an interesting statistic. There's lots of families who have no meals together anymore. It's a sad decline in our society. Mealtimes in the Bible times were very special. They were times of relaxing. They took time for that, sometimes hours. And we're not in a hurry, as we often are. It's time to connect. It's time to fellowship. It's a time of friendship development. And you go through the Bible, you see all the mealtimes, you notice how important they are. Even Jesus is accused on basis of a meal. You eat with the scribes, the publicans and sinners. You eat with them. That's a loaded statement in the Jewish culture. Food is an important moment for fellowship and connecting. And therefore, it's also so critical. What Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 23 and 24, let me read that to you. He says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thou hast brought aught again, that thy brother has aught against thee. That is something between your brother and you. Something. Stop, he says, leave there thy gift before the altar. Go thy way, and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gifts. Now, Jesus may have referred there to the peace offering. Not the burnt offering. But a peace offering was an offering that they would bring to the temple and they would wave it before God and then they would sit down with each other and have a meal with their families in the presence of God, almost like having a meal with God. That was the peace offering. That came after the burnt offering. It's this fellowship. And Jesus, if there's anything between you and your brothers, there's no peace offering here. There's no meal. You can't have fellowship. You see, that's why I read from Luke 22. He's instituting the Lord's Supper as a peace meal. Not as a burning sacrifice. Because listen what he says. This is the bread I've broken, which is broken for you. It has to be yet broken. But Jesus already thinks in the completed sense. Bread is broken for you. I have brought the burnt offering. The blood is shed. I have brought the sacrifice. And now let's have a meal. That's a peace meal. A Lord's Supper is a peace meal. Lord's Supper is a meal that celebrates there's peace between God and His people. It's a joyful occasion. It celebrates the new relationship with God through Christ. You see, it's therefore very significant that around this table, Jesus speaks these words out of John 14. I'll read those to you just briefly. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Now that's the world gives. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Need to be afraid. Those were words spoken at the first Lord's table. Peace I leave with you. for this morning? A piecemeal. Dining with Jesus. In which he has prepared the food. And it is not a burnt offering event. You don't have to bring anything. He supplies it all. And we read from Luke 22 that he has a great desire to eat with his people. Now, let's go back to Ruth this morning, chapter 2. And let us briefly, in preparatory moment for the table's ministration, meditate on verse 14. Ruth chapter 2, verse 14. And Boaz said unto Ruth, at mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and she was sufficed, and she left. Now, children, remember last week I said the Bible is a picture book? It is illustrations of teaching, such as this book of Ruth. Now, this verse is not about the Lord's Supper. Let that be very clear to you. When there we have a little meal in the field with Ruth and Boaz and his workers, that's not a Lord's Supper teaching. That's a picture of it, though. There's a lot of spiritual lessons that we can draw right to the Lord's table. And that's also what I desire to do this morning. Therefore, the text this morning suggests Jesus charging to come and eat. Jesus charged. Oh, I said unto her at mealtime, come thou hither. And then the content of the charge is come and eat the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. Let's consider who she's speaking to. Who is charged this morning by Jesus to come and eat? And then secondly, what is it to eat and to drink? What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, it is addressed this morning to a stranger. Notice that? Ruth is an outsider. She does not belong to the Israelites. Not yet. She'd like to. She doesn't feel like she's one of those. You notice in verse 13, she doesn't even feel she can stack up to the handmaidens of Boaz. Simple servants. She says, I don't even belong to them. I'm not even compared to like them. So Ruth is really an outsider. She calls herself a stranger. That's not how Boaz looks at her. She says, my daughter. He addresses her like all the others. Ruth feels very unfit to sit there too. She says, I'm amazed that thou art speaking so friendly to me, though I not be one of like thy handmaidens. But if you now look in Ruth's heart, what do you think, children? Did she long to belong to those Israelites? If you now look right in her heart, do you think she wanted to sit with Boaz and her and his maidens, his servants? Do you think maybe she said, I'll take the farthest away spot. If I could just only be there. And maybe that's how you came to church. Maybe you said, I'll sit out in the foyer. But if I could only be part of this. Why? Why would you be part of this, Boaz? The Jesus. Why would we be part of this mealtime? Because Ruth is no stranger to a growing esteem for the God of Israel. She's in love with God more than with Moab. She doesn't really know God very much, except what she's heard from Naomi. And she has a growing esteem for this man, Boaz, which is also a stranger to her. Because she goes home, And she tells her mother a lot about this Boaz. She says, well, did you know he's family? He is. She doesn't know him. But she knows something about him. What? Well, listen. Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me. And thou hast spoken friendly to thy handmaid, the stranger Boaz. Literally it says in the Hebrew, you've spoken to my heart. You've touched my heart. You've done something to my heart. You see, congregation, so it is also spiritually. There are people here whose heart has been touched by Jesus. You cannot maybe tell a big story about what you all have experienced. That's not so necessary. But can you say this morning, he's touched my heart. Jesus, you've spoken to my heart. He has comforted my heart with hope, with some hope, though I hardly dare to hope, it's for me. That's the one who gets charged this morning to come to the table. And why is that spiritually that way? Listen to what Jesus says in John 6. He says, every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father cometh unto me. It is the mark of spiritual grace. We make it so difficult sometimes. We have to have all kinds of things nowadays. And Jesus says, this is the only thing you really need to identify with. All that has learned of the Father are learning about themselves as being a stranger, an outsider, a sinner, a guilty man, that's obvious. And are drawn through that awareness to Jesus Christ. Every man, therefore, has heard and learned of the Father, cometh unto me. Are you one of those Ruths that's been gleaning intensely, tirelessly maybe? That doesn't mean you're sometimes not tired, but looking on the field of the Word, listening for a word that is for you. Are there sometimes moments, and I know there are, that you say, yeah, that was so encouraging. It was like I was the only one in church or at home. What was that then? That was what Ruth said. Thou hast comforted me. Thou hast spoken friendly to my heart. You know of those moments? And that word of God has become so sweet, gave you hope, comfort. And that you learn more and more that there's only one that can help you. Not the church, not this or that minister, not this or that elder, not your mom, your dad, your grandfather, grandmother, but Jesus only. Him only. Upon which you are staking all your hope, slowly more and more. That greater Savior, Jesus. Jesus is asking a question this morning. What would you answer? If he now would stand before you like he stood before Ruth, like Naomi did earlier, and he would ask you, why did you leave your Moab? Because we all have our Moabs, don't we? Our starting point in our spiritual life is Moab, without God. Why did you distance yourself from your former friends? I can think of some former friends I don't want to see. No one at least be friends with anymore. Can you? Why did you distance yourself from them? Why did you stop gleaning in those fields of the earthly pleasures that before were so pleasurable and so exciting? At this moment, I'm not giving you anything. But why did you stop that? Why are you in the fields of Jesus' words? Is it somehow in your heart that you confess, because I see my foolishness now and my evil running after all those other lovers that really can't help me, are useless and vain? And there's only one that can truly comfort me. Though I feel unworthy and I don't belong to be cast off and I have no right to eat any of the grace crumbs of Jesus' table, and yet, to whom else can I go? He has the words of eternal life. If you are like that congregation, if your life is sketched somewhat in this Ruth, then know you're addressed this morning by Boaz, by Jesus. And what is Jesus saying? Come and eat. At mealtime, come hither and eat the bread. Let's look at that briefly, that charge of Boaz. That's not an invitation. I looked it up. I read that several times in several commentaries. So I checked it out too. This is not a way in the Hebrew that you are getting an invitation. This is a commanding voice. Boaz, with a certain authority, says, come thou hither. I command you almost not to stay away from this table. That's a surprising authority. Who is this Boaz talking to Ruth like that? Well, she's on his field. That's why. She's gleaning on his field. But maybe there's another reason for it, that he speaks with this rather forcefulness at mealtime. Come thou hither. Why? I think he can read something in Ruth's eyes. She's rather shy. She's fearful. She doesn't really feel she belongs there. She's one of those that stands afar off. Oh yeah, she longs to be there, but she doesn't dare to. Maybe you can see that in yourself. Maybe you think, I can't partake. Maybe you think that this morning. I cannot be part of this table. I'm a Moabite. I have a terrible past. You should have known the idols I served. I've defiled myself with the sins of Moab. Who am I to sit at the mealtime table? I don't belong there. And even now, though I don't live anymore like that, way back then, I don't even want to share with you what I am now, what I struggle with, what sin, what... The other day I sat next to a 94-year-old woman. 94-year-old kids. And I said, well, you're getting this old. You must be done with vanity, with trying to be vain. Ah, she just shook her head at me. She says, no, I am still so concerned about how I look. How I look. I wish I could stop this, but I struggle still. Yeah. And I've known this woman all my life. All my life. Maybe you guess who that is. That's my mother. 94. How can it be? And maybe you think that too. I was thinking of that because I was reading my father's book on Ruth the other day. Here's some words from him. I was really touched by that. He says, those such thoughts about your past and about your present unworthiness are good. Yet, he says, Let God's people not pay too much attention to their feelings of unworthiness and feelings of missing and feelings of need. But let them pay more attention to the loving urge that is contained in this charge. At mealtime, come hither and eat. That was precious to me. I need that reminder. This morning, friends, if you want, we do not have to always look at all this in ourselves. He says, do this in remembrance of me. You see, after this little interview with Ruth, there's probably a few hours that Ruth is still gleaning in the field. It's not noontime yet. She's been thinking about this as she's reaping. Maybe she's been struggling about this too, about this charge of Boaz. But then notice what happens at mealtime. She did come. She had made up her mind. She didn't come in a flush of feeling and in a wave of emotion. And friends, I just say that. To decide to come to the Lord's table should never be a last moment decision. That should be something that we struggle with and pray about in the week. To see whether we fit the spiritual qualifications. I know it is a struggle sometimes, hugely, to overcome fears. And many of the Lord's people will recognize that. But how did Ruth overcome her fears? What do you think? Just to remember what Boaz said to her. That's how she overcame her fears. He said it. At mealtime, come hither and eat. And now this morning, Boaz charges. Jesus charges us to come and eat. To eat and drink and do this in remembrance of me. Children of God, if this morning God is enabling you to partake of this table, then forget about yourself for a little while. And if you tend to think about yourself, then charge your mind to think about Him. That's sometimes difficult. So look at that piece of bread when you have it in your hand. And think for a moment. As you sit there waiting to all have gotten the piece of bread. Look at that. What is the message of that? This is my body. This is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. To be strengthened and to be sufficed by the sacrament of the Lord's table, the real benefit is we turn our thoughts away from ourselves and remember Him in the eating and the drinking and remember His words. And then, when we eat and when we drink, remember what now the picture of that is. When I eat that bread and drink that wine, what happens to that? It becomes part of me. Totally. And that's a picture of something. That when I may trust under the shadow of His wings, when I may trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, when I may spiritually eat and drink, He becomes part of me. All His becomes part of me. That's the picture that Christ wants to present visually in what He, of course, has said so many times in the Bible already, in the promises, that whosoever believeth has everlasting life. That means everything that is mine has become his or hers. And then, when we are believing what He spoke, this is my body broken. Broken for you, for me. Then will we experience what also Ruth experienced. And she did eat, and she was sufficed, and she left. And what did she do after that? She went back to her hard work and the rest of the day. And that's our life story. a moment of rest to face the journey of life again. So as Boaz reached Ruth the poet's corn, so Jesus reaches us this morning, the bread and the wine. Let's sing together. Psalter 103, verse 1 through 4, Lord, in Thee am I confiding. Thou wilt answer when I call. And what follows? 103, verse 1 through 4. Now appear. Lord, do not forsake me. Let me know that Thou art near. Under Thy protection, take me as my Savior now appear. That's almost Ruth in chapter 3 of her Bible, of the book. And she asks Boaz, spread thy skirt over me. That means marry me. Take care of me. Come hither and eat. What are we to remember this morning at this table? What are our thoughts to occupy ourselves with? Let's turn to our form in the back of our Psalter to read what we are to remember at this table so that we will suffice. So let us read the introductory statement on page 136. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, delivered by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, that we may celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it's above all things necessary that we rightly examine ourselves. And we have occupied ourselves, hopefully, with that last week, Sunday, and this week. And then secondly, to direct it to that end to which Christ has ordained and instituted the supper, namely to his remembrance. So let's turn to page 137 on the top of the second paragraph. Now, after this manner, are we to remember him by it? The second column, I meant. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world. Notice the Father sent him. What love! That he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly, from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth. Now, Jesus suffered not just on the cross, not just at the end life, but all his life. And in those 33 years, he has fulfilled for us all the obedience to the divine law and righteousness which we never can bring before him. Especially, back to the suffering, when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound, that we might be freed from our sins. That he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded. That he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. Yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed to the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting or the debt notices of our sins. And he has also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings. And he has humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him. And finally, he confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood the new and the eternal testament, the covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. Secondly, that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ in his last supper took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament, my blood, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. That is, as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you. Now, whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you. And I certainly feed, nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he has taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin. And he has obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head and as us and his members, might have true communion with him and be made partakers of all his blessings, of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides that we by the same spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the Holy Apostle says, for we being many are one bread and one body, for all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together one vine flows and mixes itself together, so shall we all, who by true faith are engrafted into Christ, be all together one body, through brotherly love, for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who has so exceedingly loved us, and not only showed us in word, but also in very deed, towards one another. Here to assist us the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen. Now that we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace. O merciful God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we beseech thee this morning that thou be pleased in this supper in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ. We beg thee, Lord, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more, with a true confidence, give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ. And that our afflicted and our contrite hearts with the power of the Holy Ghost may be fed and comforted with his true, with him, true body and blood, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace. Lord, that we may not doubt, but that thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, never more imputing our sins unto us, providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs of the kingdom. Grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess thee our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted heads expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Strengthen us by this Holy Supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith. whereof we make confession with our mouth and heart, saying, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, and crucified, dead, and buried, who descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead, He ascended into heaven, and who sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick, the living, and the dead. I believe and strengthen us also in that faith in the Holy Ghost. And I believe in Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. That we may now be fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven. So direct your thoughts upwards, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of His heavenly Father, to which all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting that we shall certainly be fed and nourished in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with His body and blood as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of Him. Notice this strong sense of expectation. We're talking about in our prayer group this morning to pray with expectation. But notice this too, to partake of the table with expectation, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed through the Holy Spirit with His body and blood as we receive it in remembrance of Him. We sing Psalm 164 now, verses 1 and 2. So 164, let us sing verses 1 and 2 as I prepare the table. As I may open the table this morning, a slight reminder for the orderliness of the table. Those who are members here, and also only those who have received special permission, if they're not members, but only those who are not under any ecclesiastical discipline are welcome this morning, at least on a church grounds, to partake of the table of the Lord. The spiritual ground is what we have spoken about, summed up in one sentence. One sentence, we just sang it. If you can deny this sentence, and I think you can make the conclusion yourself, more precious is thy tender love than life to me. I think Ruth had some tender connections with her own family, don't you think? In Moab. She forsook it all. Why is that? Because she saw more life and hope in the God of Israel. And now this morning you cannot come any farther than please come here. Because that's where the shepherd desires to strengthen your faith. As Boaz, picturing Jesus at mealtime, come hither. With these words, I open the table of the Lord. There's several seats yet. I see here a few. And beloved, may I this morning again celebrate with you. That's the word that our fathers used as they described in the prayer that we just prayed, the remembrance of the bitter death of the Lord Jesus Christ. A celebration. Doesn't quite fit, right? Celebration. But that's what it is. As we may peer upon the peerless, unfathomable love pictured in the bread of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says that the bread which is broken for you, the bread which we break, beloved, is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Believe ye and remember and believe that the precious body of our dear Lord Jesus Christ has been broken so deeply until he died for you, for a complete remission and satisfaction of all the Father's demands. Broken for you. Meditate as you think about this bread on the Lord Jesus, the sweet Savior, and his bitter death. Let us partake together. the cup of thanksgiving which we bless. It is the communion with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take ye, drink ye all, remember that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ has been shed for the complete remission of all our sins. Gold and silver didn't redeem you, but the blood of the precious Lamb. Do this in remembrance of me. May I just read some scriptures that I have gathered around this theme this morning. Remember what he did for you. Behold, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundations of the earth, that taketh away the sin of the world. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, in Moab, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Beloved, will we not bless the Lord with all our soul? For all his benefits are bought by this blood of the Lord Jesus. Peter reminds us of that. We were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from our vanity, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb without blemish, without spot, a lovely, sweet man, Jesus Christ, whose character was without blemish, whose life was without spot. He came for you and me. Peter writes that. Whose verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory. This morning let us take along the memory. While we were yet sin, he was broken and he poured out his whole life, symbolized in blood, the picture of life. Nothing is dearer to me than my life. We fight for it. We cling to it, don't we? Even when we're old, still cling to it. even though it's vain. Even though it's vain. How much more was it for Christ when it was perfect? He had a perfect communion with his Father. Lived in the sweet awareness of the love of his Father. Do you get it? He was willing to give life. That life. With his Father. For you and me. Let's sing. 251. 251, the first verse. It is good. Sing thy praises to thank the Almost High. And Boaz said, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Then Ruth said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid. Though I be not like unto one of thy handmaidens." Ruth was saying, "Let me find favor in thy sight." She was a little wrong there, wasn't she? She had his favor already. That's why he spoke to her comfortably to her heart. That's why. Maybe you struggle this morning too. Oh, will he receive me? Will he has a favor to me? God has a favor, friends. I'll earn it. Freely moved. And he speaks that to the heart. And Ruth heard that. And then I may read again the verse. "And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime, come thou hither. And eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." And she came. She sat down beside the reapers. And he reached to the parched corn. "Come, Ruth." Boaz calls. "Come, seeking, hungry, needy sinners." Jesus calls. With this I open the second table. There's a little bit more space here. It's my custom if the table isn't filled, and there will be not a third one. No more Ruths out here. To whom Jesus has spoken friendly to the heart and has comforted out of his word, showing you that he is the only one. We do not come to this supper to testify that we are righteous and holy and perfect and have it all. Come to this supper to testify, I can't live without Jesus. That's all. With these words then, brethren and sisters of the Lord, the bread which we break this morning again, it is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take ye, eat, remember and believe that the precious body of our Lord Jesus Christ has been broken for the complete remission of all our sins. All our sins. Sins of thought, sins of practice. Oh, this morning, we need not remember them. We need to remember him who gave his life to put away your sin. Do this in remembrance of me. You may now partake of the bread. The cup of thanksgiving which we bless. It is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take ye, drink ye all of it, and remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ has been shed for the complete remission of all our sins. Not saved with silver and gold, saved with the precious blood of Christ. Do this in remembrance of me. He who heard the word of God, he says, behold my servant. This is Jehovah speaking about Jesus, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall not he quench. Behold my servant, as many as were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Behold, he who would not break a bruised reed, He despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. Why? Surely he has borne our griefs and sorrows. He entered deeply into our misery. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted by God. Behold him this morning, this broken bread and shed wine. And why was he so smitten? Ah, beloved, here, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. How? Because the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. From Adam's sin to each and every one of your own sins in thought, word, and deed, from the original and the actual sin. What troubles us troubled him much more than it ever has troubled us. But now it ought not to trouble us anymore. For remember, this broken bread, this shed wine, I have paid. Therefore, as Paul wrote earlier, now also we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have obtained atonement. Oh, beloved, hard to believe. Yeah, difficult. But that's not what our dear Lord asks us this morning, once again, to believe. Finished. What he said on the cross, he says it here, finished. Justification, that's finished. Sanctification, not yet. He's still working on us. And also that he will finish. And that will not until he will eat personally with us in the kingdom of God. Now that is not possible. Let's sing the second verse of 251. And bless the Lord again with these words. It's 251, verse 2. Thou hast filled my heart with gladness through the works thy hands have wrought. Yeah, that's what we saw here this morning. The work thy hands have wrought. Thou hast made my life victorious. Great thy works, deep thy thought. 251, verse 2.
Lord.
beloved, in the Lord Jesus Christ, since the Lord has now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving. And everyone say in his heart, echo it with me, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He's not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and my heart show forth praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let's close with thanksgiving. With attentive hearts, let us pray. O Almighty and merciful God and Father, we give thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast, of thy own infinite mercy, given us thy only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal. And thou hast given lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. And we beseech thee, grant us, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of this death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and to the saving fellowship with him. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayer with the words of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver thou us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's do Psalter 251, the third verse. Oh no, I had chosen 164, sorry. 164, verse 3 and 4. Let's do those last two. Thus will I bless thee while I live, and with uplifted hands will give praise to thy holy name. So let's do 164, verse 3 and 4. It's the first Sunday of the month, so we have our customary singing tonight. Receive now the blessing of the Lord Most High, and let us go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.